142, moment by moment. We like to sing those fast-moving songs. This one will move you. It's not quite so fast. Dying with Jesus, my death reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life sublime. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I'm life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment. I figured it out already. I see all kinds of people. What do you got there? Let's sing the last verse so I won't bore you too much with it. You see, I can tell when you don't know the song or it doesn't get to you, and there's just no point in trying to teach you a song this morning. Moment by moment, a great song, but I just date back further than you do. Now, there's one thing to be said about singing an old song, another thing to be said about singing a new song. I'm singing an old song, you're singing a new song, let's do it. Last verse. 142.
Never a weakness that He doth not fear. Never a sickness that He cannot heal. Moment by moment in glory we Jesus, my Savior, lies with. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I'm alive from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, oh Lord, I am thine.
At least you need to know the chorus once more.
Moment by moment, in His love. Moment by moment, I'm alive from above. Looking to Jesus, His glory does shine. Moment by moment, oh Lord,
about 302. Do we know that one better? Revive us again. We have revival services today, and we need to be revived. We need to be moved in the Spirit of God.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus.
Stand up.
I come.
do it again. Just once more.
Hallelujah, light the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, light the glory. Light us again.
Number 240. Springs of living water. Thirsted in the barren lands of sin and shame. I thirst in the barren lands of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But unto the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, drinking out of my eyes, my soul is satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Different. I want to hear these first two and a half rows sing that song, will you? These first two and a half rows, they seem to, they got a lot of motion going here. And just, hey, what are you moving out for? We're just going to sing the chorus.
Drinking at the springs of living water.
One more time. And you may be seated. Pastor, come.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of
God. 193, and you stand with me, will you please? Search me, O God. We have a revival service going today. Trust we have a revival service going all of the time, but we need revival. We need a searching. And think about it as you sing this song. Search me, O God. Song. There is a sweet, sweet spirit today. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Thank you. I love you, Lord.
Introduce Joe Brostowski, and he can introduce his wife to you this morning. I first met him, I was trying to think when it was. He said maybe seven years ago at district council. We had a mutual friend, Rod Chapman, used to pastor in River Falls, and I was at district council and having a meal with Rod, and we sat down with Joe and began to fellowship and immediately felt drawn to him. And we've had opportunity only to really share a meal or two at district council, and that's all. But we're getting to know him and his wife this weekend a lot better. So, Brother Brostowski, would you come, please? And also have a mutual friend, Jim Motley. Jim Motley, I grew up with Jim, and Jim married his sister, Joel's sister, right?
No, my wife's sister.
Your wife's sister, that's it. And anyway, so we got some connections that go back and forth there. From Ripon, Wisconsin, home of Ripon cookies. But he doesn't look like he eats too many of those. God bless you, brother. Come and minister.
Truly is a delight to be here in the metropolis of Wilson. Pastor sent me some directions how to find a church. Well, if I couldn't find this church in this size of town, I'd better hang it up. But it is a beautiful time here of fellowshipping with you folks. Pastor was saying how Jim Motley, my brother-in-law, married my wife's sister, and we always say it this way, we married the fader girls. I married the baby, and he married the rich one. And that's how it really happened. But my wife, Gloria, is here, and I want her to stand and greet you fine folks here in this Calvary Assembly.
What a beautiful time we're going to have in heaven, isn't it? I was thinking we brought our daughter off to college, and as soon as her foot hit Lakeland, Florida soil, she said out loud, "Welcome home, Rebecca." And my heart went out, but as I was sitting here thinking about that this morning, I think, wow, when we get to heaven, it's going to be welcome home, Gloria. Because that's really where our real home is in heaven. Don't get attached to the things on this earth or even to people, because people can disappoint you and things will break and rust away. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And my treasure is in heaven. And I'm so glad that we can all be there together. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Praise God. It is beautiful to go across the district here in Wisconsin, Upper Michigan. My wife and I have been traveling now for 2 years in evangelistic ministry. We've pastored for 25 years throughout the state of Wisconsin and part of North Dakota. And like your pastor said, we've only met each other at district council. But what a joy it was. I contacted Pastor here and we arranged for these meetings. And I told him, I said, Pastor, it's going to be real nice to be with you and your family. And I said, we're going to be empty nesters now. Our son, he's in the Marine Corps out in California, loves the Lord, and our daughter gone to Southeastern Bible College of the Assemblies of God. And now I said, Gloria and I, we just travel around. And he said, well, you're going to be staying in our home. And I thought, what a privilege that is to stay with six children. And I got real quiet on the phone for a second. And he said, brother, I have eight children. Oh. And I told that to my brother-in-law, Jim, and he had to hurry up and tell his mother, Sister Motley from Union Grove. And she said, well, she hasn't been praying for two others, but now she has to pray for another one. So, amen. The Lord's been blessing this home. And what a joy. What a behaved, beautiful family at that parsonage. What a beautiful parsonage this congregation has built. You ought to be so proud of it. And your pastor and his wife are exceptional in their hospitality. Even Josh, boy, he set me up last night. He said, you're going to be staying in my room. And I was looking around the room at his paintings and everything. And I looked at the bed. I said, I'm just going to slap and feel the hardness of this mattress. And I did. Uh-oh. I felt splish splash. And I wasn't even taking a bath. And I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now, a waterbed. But we arranged different accommodations out in that guest room. Nice, hard mattress. I don't know if there was a bed of nails under or what, but we just went out like that and had a great time. He got to keep his room and his brother did last night, and we got a good night's rest. Well, I was expecting this morning for reveille to happen. Everybody line up in a row. The general would go by, inspect them all, and it really was like that. Those delicious rolls for breakfast. Mine, I found out that's what happens to this church, I mean, this parsonage every Sunday. What a blessing from God. Fresh homemade rolls. Usually my wife and I are in some motel somewhere, and we're getting a hold of some donut that's been laying around for who knows how long. And sitting down and having a fresh roll and a glass of juice and a cup of coffee. What tremendous. And then our brother over here brings donuts. What a great treat that this church has. You ought to be here. If you're not part of Sunday school, you ought to be here. And not even just for the donuts, but for the fellowship. And this brother that teaches class is tremendous. You have very great people here who love God, I can sense. And these young people, thank you, young people, for sitting in the front. I met some of them last night coming home. Burned, their legs were red, their arms. I was thinking, these guys love persecution around here. But I did the same thing when I was your age. I used to tell Rebecca, oh, Rebecca, I hope something, well, now she's got brown hair now. She's got after the, she's got her light brown hair, but oh, when she was blonde, I says, Becca, I want to get blonde like you again. She says, Dad, you're gray. Yeah, we all get older, but I had that brown hair once when I was that age sitting in the church. Oh, it's beautiful to see young people love God. as I was sitting there looking over to see their hands raised to the Lord. A lot of times in churches I go, young people are scattered about, usually in the back row, looking at their clocks, wondering, what time are we getting out of here? But oh, what a difference when young people love Christ and they want to express their love for the Lord and to the church. It's a sign of a healthy church when you have a youth group like this and a youth pastor who's doing such a great job. Praise God. But there's always somebody else who needs Jesus, isn't there? Last night, Pastor and I said, let's take a walk. And I don't know how far you could go in this area, but we just took a walk down to the downtown. Stood down there and looked. There wasn't even a car that drove by, I don't believe. But you know, there was three bars I noticed with lighted signs and a few cars are on every one. And you have to think, you know, there's somebody even in a town of this size that needs Christ. In this town. So I want you to think about the town you live in. It might be a neighboring community around here, maybe it's a larger city. I want you to think about the people you meet every day, the people you go to work with, you go to school with. Somebody's life you need to touch because people need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with cares, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fierce to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we that people need the Lord? How many here know somebody in your family, in your friends, that needs Jesus? They might have a lot of money, they might drive the nicest cars, live in the fanciest homes, but you know, they need Christ. We are called to take His life to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost than sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Need the Lord.
us give our lives for people need. The Lord, people need. The
Hallelujah, Jesus. We pray for people that they need Christ would come to the saving knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Now, they really load you up right around here. Water here, water there, and water under here. My son was home this summer. I didn't see him for a whole year. He just came back from the Orient. And he's a bodybuilder as a Marine. In fact, he's going to be going over to, he's going to be in the Ironman contests, shipping him out from the West Coast out to the East Coast this coming month. He's one of the five Marines who from the West Coast will be among those Marines who will be competing against the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs, and a few other elite organizations. He's a body trainer, if you've ever seen him, this guy. Chest, the arms, the whole workout. I don't know why he takes after me, but I just can't. But anyway, he's one of these guys who watches his diet just down to the... He came home this summer to see Mom and I, and mother and I, and he was home for a few days, and he was drinking, you know, GNC milkshakes, and the steak had to be just right for him, the peanut butter, and all this was training down at the gym in town, and all of a sudden, a couple days later, he got so sick. He said, Dad, I haven't been sick in years. I said, what do you think the problem is? He said, I don't know, but he kept training, and then finally told his mother, you know, I don't care how big you are, you always go to Mom. Mom always can soothe you, can't she? She said, Levi, we better take you down to the emergency room. So he had to go down to the emergency room, and they took some samplings from him, and they gave him the ultimate answer. You have cryptosporidium. Whoa, what is that? I thought, water poisoning. Everywhere he goes, he drinks almost 2 gallons of water a day. Of course, he better be near a restroom all the time too, right? But he got some water in some place that was contaminated. And when he told me that, all the towns that we go to, I always have to ask the preacher anymore, how's the water in this area? I'm looking for little things floating around. I don't know where he picked this thing up, but I know that. I said, I don't want to have the pain he went through. They put him on antibiotics, and he bounced back in a few days. But I want to tell you, this water seems all right, Pastor. If there's a problem, we'll let you know, and We'll send your name to Brother Adamson. He'll take care of it from there. But no, everything's fine, and we just love God. We want to see you people join in today into the blessings of the Lord. How is your love with God? How much do you really love God, you might say, here today? I don't know if you heard the story about a fellow out of Milwaukee who followed the Green Bay Packers for 35 years, and now he was getting up into his 60s, and he had never been to Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Well, finally, he got a ticket from some friend or whatever, and he had his ticket. He made his way up to Lambeau Field and got the set to see the Green Bay Packers play the Chicago Bears. And oh, what a joy it was. He had his binoculars. He had enough money to buy enough pop and popcorn and brats. And he was sitting there in the first quarter, and he was looking through his binoculars, and he saw a seat just right down the row from him, and it was on the 50-yard line, and he was up on the back on the corner of the 20. He couldn't imagine. Nobody was sitting in that seat. The place was filled, and he thought to himself, I would love to sit in that seat. Well, he got up during the quarter, at the end of the quarter, and made his way down and found that seat and asked the gentleman to sit next to him. He said, is this seat taken, sir? And the man looked at him and said, nope, it's not taken at all. He said, may the man have a seat? He said, certainly, sit down. He was watching the game, and he looked at the gentleman. He says, well, whose seat was this? Who wouldn't sit here? He said, well, that was my wife's seat. Oh, really? He says, why? Is she ill or something? Nope, she passed away. And now it's the empty seat. Oh, and he thought he said, I'm very sorry to hear that. He says, don't you have a family member or a son? And he said, yeah, I have sons. Couldn't you find somebody come up here and sit in that seat and watch the game? And he says, nope, they're all at the funeral. I want to ask you something. Where's your love? Is your love more important for the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, or for Jesus? Because I look at the clock right there, and usually by this time in most churches I preach, they start at 9:30, 10 o'clock, the morning service. This is one of the services I'm not used to going 11, but if you people hang on with me, we'll get through it, all right? I found out Pastor doesn't have TV hook up anyway, so I'm not watching the Packers, and I'm going to drag you all the way with me. Why can't you're not? Oh, no, I'm not going to persecute you like that. But I want to tell you, what's your love for God? How much do you really love Him? Stand with me as we read the Word of God together today. I like people to stand in for respect of the Word of God. Reading in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through verse 34. Now as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I want you to take your Bibles. I like doing this. If you like to do it with me, if you're a little shy, maybe you don't want to, take your Bible and raise it with me. Say, Lord, I believe the Word of God. I stand on the Word. This is your holy Word. And I can believe it today. It's meat for my soul. It'll touch my spirit. It'll set me free. And I give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you on the topic this morning. Just as what Jesus asked these men here, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Reminds me of the story my sister told me about out in California at a retreat that she was at. They told the story, I thought, about the pastor who pastored a very large church out in California. And every Sunday morning he prided when the choir of more than 100 would sing as he walked out to that large congregation where he was the pastor of. And he'd come out with his Thompson chain Bible, black suit on, white shirt, red tie every week, and he'd walk out. But that Sunday morning, before he had to come out to the platform, nature did a little call on him. And off from his study, he had his own restroom there, and he was buckling his belt, and somehow something caught somewhere, and next thing he knew, he was walking out with a 40-foot tail of a white toilet paper on the back of that. And folks, that was the end of that guy. He was not a guy who ever smiled, but the congregation went wild. The associate pastors on the platform couldn't believe the pastor, look what's happening. And well, he lost it. You know, God has a way of humbling people, doesn't he? I'm looking already. Is there any? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked this very important question as we get into this message today. And perhaps you're here this morning and you need something from God. You've come to the right place. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a church like this in this part of this state where we can touch God? Hallelujah.
Our brother brought us into the place of God through the song service this morning. And oh, how we can experience the love of Jesus. Folks, sometimes we get this opinion that God only works in the very large congregations. Aren't you glad He works right here? You don't have to run off to Minneapolis, nor Chicago, or Milwaukee today. But Jesus Christ knows right where Wilson is, amen. He knows right where you're at, and He has a plan for your life. He wants you to call out today to Him, and He has the answer for you. A few months ago, my wife and I were going off to travel on a weekend ministry. We stopped into a gas station. I was getting out of my automobile and looked at my car. I had just washed it perfectly and washed the white walls and getting things done right where I wanted. I got out and I looked up. My wife was staring. She goes, "Well, what's wrong, honey?" I said, "Did you know that somebody must have changed our tire and stole the hubcap within the last hour and a half?" And she goes, "Well, no." I said, "Well, look at this. The hubcap is gone." She got out and looked at me. We both scratched our head. We came through a construction area and some kind of roads that were tore up. I said, "We'll never find it anyway." So we just had to keep on going. Do you know how little things can bug you? How many here knows little things bug you? Oh, yeah. I mean, you just don't get it right. You're thinking, you're backtracking, your mind is going. Man, that thing is... And the Lord just finally said, "Give it up." It's the hubcap. But yeah, okay, you got to preach today. Oh, Lord, yeah. Put it in the back of your head. But after every time I watch, do you know how many people I saw the same type of car as mine? I was sitting in a Walmart. I saw these cars come. I said, if I was a crook, there would be a lot of people would come out of Walmart and say, "Where did our hubcap go?" "I don't know. I thought it was there, honey. We certainly had when we come in here." Oh, God forbid me. I had to go like that. The devil says, "Go ahead, take it anyway. They'll never miss it." No, he didn't. That thing bothered me. And I said to her, "Well, I'll get one at a junkyard." Well, I called up and I found out how much if I was to buy it down at the Dodge dealer. I found out the price of that. I says, "Come for that?" And, you know, I said, that now it started to really play on my mind. Then I called up all these salvage yards in the area. And I looked from Appleton, from Fond du Lac, and Oshkosh. Had my brother-in-law with me, the one I was talking about, Jim. And we went through a junkyard together, and it was the muddiest place. Most of them say, "Well, you don't get past the gate." They just say, we'll tell you right now. They get on the computer there, and there's one car back. You can go back there. Well, this one says, "You can go back there and get it yourself." We went back. I think he was smiling all the way. He knew how muddy it was. Us guys were trying to tip around all this. Oh, forget it. I just start walking through it. We found that car out in that large junkyard all in Appleton. And I finally said, "Here it is." And once you know, every car in that area had the hubcaps but that one. Then my blood is boiling now. I'm starting to go, "Oh, this demon possessed the situation." And okay, Lord. The Lord finally says, "Why don't you just give it over to me?" As it. "Give it to you." "Okay, Lord. I have to give it to you. But boy, if I ever find that..." See, we want to hold on to things, don't we? And the Lord showed me. 2 days later, I was talking to a friend. He says, "I called a junkyard. They got that one down there." I called up and they said, "How much?" "Oh, that's the price I want to pay." Woo! Right down there. I picked up. I had to wipe it off right there, put it on real tight. All because I had a brake job right before that day. They just didn't put on the hubcap right. But see, I wasn't happy because it was lost. It was something I needed. And some of you are here today and you lost something. You lost something. You might have lost your health. You might have been gone to the physician now and he's told you, "Ma'am, sir, we see it all on our dialysis of you and this is your problem." You might have heard the words that you didn't want to hear and now you've stared it right in the face and it's telling you, you've got this ailment, this sickness, this infirmity, this disease. You've lost something. And you might be here today and it's in the back of your mind and you're saying to yourself, "God, why? It doesn't seem fair. I've been a healthy person all my life. And now these things are starting to creep in." The devil uses those little things and he starts picking there at it. What are you going to do? How much longer can you take it? before you start deteriorating. Maybe the medicine won't work. Maybe what the doctor says might happen. Who knows? And all these thoughts come, you've lost something. Maybe you are losing your job. You got the word from work and they're downsizing. And here you have to stare that in the face that you are only maybe a few months off of employment. And you're thinking you have to relocate. You have to get a different job. It doesn't seem right. I've been with this company for 25 years. Now what? Your wife and you are looking, you're saying, but well, we'll make it, honey. Yeah, but how much do we have saved up in our account in case things get bad? And the devil says you've lost something. What are you going to do? Jesus today says, you're going to come to Him. You're going to ask Him for something. Because how many here believes that God can take care of things that you've lost? And He can take care of every situation that you have been going through in your mind and the dilemmas that the world places upon you. And even as a child of God, we are not immune to problems. I am not one of these preachers that go around and say that if you just claim health in this, you'll never have a problem. That is a lie. There's a lot of godly saints I have known, a lot of dear saints of God who loved Jesus for many years, built churches, helped pastors, taught Sunday schools, and some of those people are infirm with problems, but they have not lost their vitality for Christ. Some do get healed and others I have buried. I have laid them to rest as a pastor. And you can question, you say, didn't that person have faith? Well, I believe they had faith, but God has different plans for some people, doesn't He? It's either this world you're going to walk in perfect health, but for sure you're going to walk the streets of gold, healthy forever. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah to God. Yes, these men were blind men. They were sitting at the roadside from where Jesus departed from Jericho. And there a great multitude followed Him. And behold, these two blind men were sitting by. They heard Jesus was coming their way. They cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And you know what the multitude said to them? Shh. I dare you to say that in a Pentecostal church. Shh. I've been in some. I had to almost go outside and go, wait a minute. I thought I came in first assembly today, but this must be dead assembly. Because there's no praise, there's no worship. And man, if you don't do it like this, we got plans. We got to get going. We have to do it this way. Then get the name off your building then. Folks, when I walk into a Pentecostal church, I expect it to be Pentecostal. If I want to go to a denomination that doesn't believe in raising their hands or praising God, there's all them around. You can find them on every corner. But I want to find a church who loves Jesus. Where the song leader lets tears roll down his cheeks. Where the organist and pianist, and if they have drums and guitars, love to worship God. And young people worship the Lord. Oh, isn't that the kind of church you want to be involved in? Thank you, Lord. We're not ashamed of the gospel. That is why the Lord has called you here to this church, because you were hungry. And some of you came out of those churches that I have spoke about and denominations that were a deep freeze and pastors that didn't even really believe the Word of God. But you came to a church where this man believes the Word of God. Aren't you glad you have a pastor like him? Oh, you ought to thank God every day and be on your hands and knees for your pastor and say, I am so grateful that that man loves Jesus and he shares with us the Word of God. And I can sense in just our time we've been together, he's that type of a pastor that loves God and his wife, and they want to lead this congregation into new heights for Jesus. And already he's telling me about what can happen out in this little field down here. Don't you want a great edifice for Christ? Where God's name is glorified and sinners find the altars of prayer and sick bodies can be healed and people can be filled with the Spirit of God. One pastor a few months ago, I was in his church. He told me right before the service, Joe, don't worry about getting this crowd going. He says, I can't do nothing with them. He says, don't even give an altar call. They won't even respond. At the end of that service, there was 40 people lying in the front of that church. He stood back. I thought, maybe you don't know how to give one, I thought. But folks, people want God. People want Jesus. People have needs. And they've come to the place of prayer. They've come to the house of the Lord. They've come to stand in the presence of Almighty God. Oh, El Shaddai, all-powerful one. We worship Him today, don't we? Jesus, our Son of David. Have mercy on me, and they said, be quiet. They warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more. Oh, I'm so glad they did that. They didn't listen to the frozen chosen. But they got excited and said, listen, if you want to stay that way, that's fine for you. But Jesus! Hey, man, they let it all hang out when they go to the Packer games or those other games and they cheer for their crowd. And I was to a game. My son came home last year before he went overseas. He got to go to his first Packer game. We did together, and all he wanted to do was be out in the parking lot. Can you imagine that? Just be out in Lambeau Field parking lot with a bunch of Christian guys grilling hot dogs and burgers and taking his picture so he could go back to show those guys in Oakland, California, we're the real cheeseheads. That's all he wanted to do. But you know what? My friend, God bless him, took out two tickets and said, Merry Christmas, Levi. Dad, you're going in. Woo! That was great. We never got up. We went into our seats and sat down. We were actually in the 30-yard line. And it was so great, we didn't get up for halftime entertainment. We stood there the whole time, watched it. Guys pouring the beer back and forth, running off to the restroom. We didn't want to miss nothing. It was great. Cheered, and it was snowfall, and the Packers actually won. My, was that a miracle. And what a time it was. Pitchers galore. People I'd never even known giving you high fives. They were so happy. Brother, they were happy because somebody scored a touchdown, and that place went wild. After the game was over, the traffic jam was for 30 miles down to the Appleton exit was filled with cars. It was Milwaukee Day. Everybody was going back. It was the ticket season holders from Milwaukee there that day. So the traffic was unbearable. But all the way back, we talked and had a great time. And, oh, we just enjoyed it. Because you know why? We were Packer fans that won. And we let everybody know. Well, then why should you come to a church and say, I believe in Jesus, but we don't want to scare nobody in this place. We want them to come back again. Maybe the mayor will come to our church and find Christ if we're not too nuts. You know what? The mayor probably needs to hear people praise God. The town council needs to know. The bartender downtown needs to know. This church believes in the gospel. So, brother, if you want to give anybody a high five, let's give a high five for Jesus. Come on. Come on, let's give a high five for God. These guys ain't afraid of it. Let's do it. Because we're on the winning side. Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, let's stop there. Let's hold it right there. Wait a minute. Jesus, have you been praying on the mountaintop too long this time? Lord, they probably could have... Jesus, they're blind men. Don't you see it? Can't you see it? Of course he sees it. You know what he wanted them to do? He wanted them to tell him what they wanted him to do to them. Oh, aren't you glad for that? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He didn't say, what do you want me to do for the next guy? Lord, they don't like you here. Let me call fire and lightning down on them. I'll fix them. And Jesus looked at him and said, "What spirit are you of?" Jesus didn't come here to destroy. He came here to save. He came here to heal. He came here to bring satisfaction to the human heart. And that's what he wanted to do. And he asked them, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, look at it for yourself. They said, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." May be open. I don't know anybody really in this church, but if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're walking around as a blind man. You're walking around in this church today. You're groping around in life. Oh, you can say, "But I see everything. I enjoy living." If you call that living. Like our brother said, served many years. He served the devil before he got saved. And now he's teaching a class in loving Christ. I can see the love of God in him. You don't find love in that world. You find pain. You find disappointments. You find broken relationships. You find all the decay and scum of life. And the devil in the end will spit at you and say, "Come on, spend eternity with me now." If you think that's living, I want you to realize something. You're a fool. But Jesus, once you get your eyes open from where they once were and where they can be now, God lets you see. Now you're saved. You say, "Wow. This is what it's all about. This is, you can be happy and not have much money in your wallet." Do you realize that? You can be happy driving around town with a car that's not even brand new. It might be still in the 70s or whatever. And you're happy with that. You can be happy. Maybe you don't have the nicest wardrobe there is, but you are happy for the clothes you wear and the bed you lay on and the food you have in your refrigerator. And when you open up your home, you can say, "Bless the Lord. All these benefits are from Him." Maybe before you used to curse Him because you didn't like what you had, but now you praise Him because He's blessed you. Oh, how many here has been blessed? Turn to somebody next to you and say, "I've been blessed." Go ahead and tell them. I want you to tell them you've been blessed. When I see these young people serving God, thank God. You say, "Oh, praise the Lord." You don't know the churches where I go to, the pastors that tell me we have got such problems in the youth groups, and we've even got some of our own kids that are all messed up, serving the devil, and their parents make them come to church. You say, "Oh, God, what a heartbreak that is." But when you see young people love God, you say, "Isn't this better than anything out there?" Loving God. Living for Jesus. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" I want you to look at some scriptures, what he's told us he wants to look for. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 21. We'll look at it together. Beginning here. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, and you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be," what? Done. And say it with me, "all things." Say it again, "all things." Whatever you ask in what? In prayer, believing, you will receive. You believe in prayer? You believe in committing things to God? You believe that God can still change? You believe that God can still change the problem in your life? Then folks, you're on the right track, because we serve a miracle-working Savior. Say amen to that. I'm serving a miracle-working Savior. Because I believe in that, things are going to happen. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what it may look like. It's still going to happen. Let's turn to another scripture. I want to indulge your faith here. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 13. John 14, verses 13 through 15. "And whatever you ask in my," what? "Name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will," what? do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many here need something you got to ask God something about today? Do you believe he can do it? You just read it, underline it in your Bible. When you have your time of prayer and devotion, the devil says, it ain't going to happen. Well, you go back to these scriptures and say, well, here's what Jesus said will happen. Right here. Joe Berstowski didn't say it. The pastor didn't say it here. Who said it? Jesus. Okay, let's go to another verse. John's Gospel, 1 John. 1 John, one of the epistles. 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at this verse together. Oh, I love it when I hear Bible pages turn. People bring Bibles to church. My wife and I went to a church. Folks, I want to tell you something. We went to a church in northern Illinois, and I got out of the car. Do you know what my wife told me? Do you think we need to take a Bible in there? Huh? She was the only one that carried a Bible into a church that sat 5,000 people. You'd say, where is that at? I'll tell you if you want to know later on. It was amazing. The church is all grown. Its facility is way too big. And everybody wants to, and the sad thing about it is, a lot of our Assemblies of Gods are trying to pattern their worship after this church. I had to go there myself to see that church. I wanted to see, what is the big deal about it? I had a pastor in this district tell me not even a month ago, he's planting a church in southern Wisconsin. He says, I'm going to build my church after that church, and he named it. And I thought to myself, well, here's what the philosophy about that church. Bring anybody you want. Let them feel comfortable. Let them hear what they want to hear. Just give them a little something to tickle their ears and don't really ruffle their feathers. And that's really what you heard in that church. Some call it seeker churches. Whatever happened to old-time Pentecostal conviction that changed people's hearts? Whatever happened to altar calls where people got saved? Whatever happened to old sinners that were drunks and filled with all kind of habits, turn them all over and get transformed? Some of you came out of that kind of church and out of that mess. God forbid that we ever go that way in the Assemblies of God. God help us. This is a Bible-believing church, this congregation. 1 John, let's read it together. Chapter 5, beginning at verse number 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence, oh hallelujah, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, see that? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And if we know that He hears us, oh, listen to that. That's it. How many here believes He hears us? He hears. If He doesn't hear us, then we might as well start serving Buddha. And if He doesn't hear us, we might as well start serving Hare Krishna. Or we might as well start serving Shinto. Like half the millions of billions of people in the world that serve a dead God. But I'm serving a Jesus who's alive, hallelujah, from the grave. And He intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. Can you say praise the Lord for that? We serve a risen, up-to-date, living Savior. So don't let you think that we're serving a Jesus out of this Bible, because the scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Oh, I'm glad I can serve a Jesus forever. He hears us. He hears me. And Jesus did something back in this chapter where I'm going to close, and just, I'm not going to hold you a whole long. I'm going to close this up because I want you people to see what's going to happen. Just a few moments. God wants to touch your life. And Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Jesus had compassion. Do you have compassion as Christians? You know what? It doesn't matter who comes into church. If some drunk from town comes in church, I don't care if you have the nicest suit on, go over there and shake his hand. If you have to hug his neck, let him know you got compassion. Let him know that this church cares. Let him know. Let them know. You say, oh, but I won't. But make sure if he drives up in a Cadillac, I'll be the first one to shake his hand. Let him drive up here in a jalopy. Let him stumble up the yard here, half drunk or on drugs, some young person, and give their neck a hug and say, thank God you're here. Many years ago when I was these kids' age in high school, I had just given the Lord my life at 17. I didn't know all about it, but all how he came in touch and filled me with his spirit. And at school, I wanted to be an example of the Lord's salvation power and how he changed and transformed me. And there was some bad crowd that I used to hang around. One of these guys, some way that Sunday night, got into our Assembly of God church. I came from a large church back then. And I was sitting in a church and I looked over the aisle and there he sat on the other side. I thought, my goodness, how did he ever get past them ushers? That guy was stoned half the time he ever came to school. He was always messed up. And I thought to myself, well, let's get the song service on the roll here. And we got it on the roll. I said, Lord, please keep Sister So-and-so quiet tonight. God, I hope she just doesn't ask for testimonies. Nobody will hear me. And I knew it. The Lord just went like this, like little pin to Sister So-and-so. Woo! She came out of that chair unglued. Brother So-and-so in the back started to worship God. People started to praise. I said, well, the pastor certainly will get this thing under control. The power of God fell that night. The pastor didn't even get to preach. He said, I want people to get down at this altar and come and see God. And I said, I better get down there because I'm going to have to pray the rapture is going to take place because this guy's going to go back to school and tell everybody I belong to some nitwit outfit. And I got to that altar. And I said, oh, God, what am I going to do now? Jesus, help me. I put my head up and looked up to heaven. I looked over and there was that young man who was so messed up at the altar with tears streaming down his face. You know what it was? The Holy Ghost got a hold of his heart. That's what we need. Holy Ghost moves. Some people say, we're dignified. We don't do that. Not in this church. I'm not going to mess my hair up for nobody. I've seen, it was just about 2 months ago, we went to one of these churches, and one of these ladies came up to the altar for prayer, and so dignified. When the power of God hit her, she hit the back of the pew. She was slain out. I thought, somebody said to me, she must be dead. I said, she ain't dead. If she's in the flesh, she ought to be dead. But if that's a spirit, don't worry about it. God take it. She got up later on, there wasn't even a lump on her head. I said, how does that happen? It's the Lord, folks. The Lord. This ain't me. This isn't something we jimmy up in our own power. Jesus Christ gets all the praise and glory. Can you say hallelujah to the Lord? Oh, the Lord wants to touch people's lives. Minister, you've come today and you're saying, oh, but I have such needs. But now we've read the faith scriptures here and the Lord says, I can heal you. I can touch you. I can save you. I can minister to you. I want to do something in your life before you leave this church today. And if you are here and you do respond to the Lord, as I'm going to ask you musicians to come back right now, and in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to step out and come across this altar. Something is tugging at your heart today. Something is saying, I need that. It's real. God's going to touch your soul. Sisters, come back to the piano, please. I looked in the book on page 26. I believe it's the chorus we should sing today. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Jesus, are you worthy? How many here will say he's worthy? He's worthy. I want you to stand with me this morning, everyone. Everyone here, stand. I want you all to get your eyes off of the next person. Don't worry about your friend next to you, your husband, your wife, your kids, grandma, grandpa, your aunt and uncle who might be here, your best friend across the church. Don't worry about them. Let's just zero in on us. Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And today he's saying that to your soul. And he's saying it to you today. And he's saying, don't walk out from me. Don't turn your back on me. Don't say you've tried before, it doesn't work. You've tried to lick that habit, you can't get rid of it. I don't think there's a person in this church that'll condemn you. They won't condemn you, they'll love you. The pastor will hug your neck, he'll pray with you. I'm asking pastor to come. Pastor, come up here, please. I don't like to just do all the praying. I always ask every pastor where I'm at to come. This is his flock. He's the man of God in this church. God has called him to this town. And he'd love to pray with you. And we'd love to anoint you with oil if you're in need this morning. And you say, but I got to get out of here pretty soon. I got to meet somebody for lunch. They'll wait, believe me. You need a touch from the Lord. You need a touch from Christ. And I'm asking you to come as we sing. As we sing this chorus today, step out, whether you're young, whether you're a teenager, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, I want you to come if you have to stand behind somebody. Come and step out and let's do it together. Thou art worthy. Come, let's come. Thou art worthy. That need a touch in their body need to come. The Lord show me that. The Lord's saying to pray for them that need to be. You're sick today. You're afflicted. You need a special touch. Don't walk out. Come and receive from the Lord. Step out and say, yes, I believe. Come take my hand. You need special prayer. Come on over here and just take my hand. I want to pray with you. I want to believe God with you today. Others of you, come. We want to step out in faith. Young people, come on. You need a special touch from the Lord so you can be an ambassador to your high school. Come on. Let's believe together. Let's trust God together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord's doing business here at this altar today. Let's stand up in faith. Let's tell the devil today, you're not going to win, Satan. Because Jesus is in this place and he's calling me and he's touching me. Come on. You feel compelled. Come. You sense it. You know you need to come. You know you need the pastor to pray with you. You need the deacons to pray with you. Deacons, come on up here and help us pray. Stand behind. Some of you Sunday school teachers, come on up here and pray. Lay your hand on some of these beautiful people that came up. Say, I'm with you. I'm praying with you. You're not standing up there alone. This church believes in praying for one another. I want you to come up. Stand behind somebody. Hug their neck. Pray with them. Believe God together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is here. And he wants to do a miracle in their lives. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.